Thanks, Barbara. I didn't know about fracking, so I think that was a really interesting presentation. My name's Karen Butler, and I want to talk to you a little bit today about predictors of perceived risk of lung cancer and lung cancer worry. I also have no financial relationships to disclose. I do want to acknowledge the support of our funders. Our funding came from the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences and from the National Institute of General Medical Sciences. I saw that there are a good number of nurses in the room. Are there any nurses or anyone else in the room who works with tobacco control issues primarily? Okay, so I could be the only tobacco person in the room. Well, that's good because that means what I'm going to tell you won't be redundant. It won't be things that you already know. So just as a little bit of background about lung cancer. Lung cancer is the second most commonly diagnosed cancer in the United States, and it has the highest mortality rate of all cancers. There are an estimated 200,000 new cases of lung cancer every year, with resulting about 160,000 deaths from lung cancer every year. You probably know, even if you don't work in tobacco control, that smoking is the leading cause of lung cancer. You may not know that the second leading cause of lung cancer is radon exposure, and the third leading cause is exposure to secondhand smoke. There's some racial and ethnic and socioeconomic inequities that exist with the incidence of lung cancer and with the mortality rate associated with lung cancer. African Americans are more likely to get lung cancer and more likely to die from it than Caucasians, even though their overall exposure to cigarette smoke is lower. So that's one significant issue. Socioeconomic status is also highly correlated with cancer rates, as well as the progression of the disease. There are environmental risks for lung cancer, and they're not evenly distributed throughout the population. They are inversely related to income, so that people below the poverty level and those with less education are significantly more likely to smoke, less likely to attempt to quit smoking than those with higher socioeconomic status. And secondhand smoke exposure also tends to be higher among people with lower income. There's a growing number of states and municipalities that have smoke-free legislation, but there's still millions of smokers, or non-smokers, I'm sorry, who remain exposed to secondhand smoke in their homes and in cars across our country. Lung cancer is almost totally preventable by eliminating firsthand and secondhand smoking and radon exposure. It's estimated that about 15% of lung cancer cases in men and 53% in women, which is a significant number, are not caused by firsthand smoking. So they would be caused by either exposure to secondhand smoke or exposure to radon. Exposure to radon, does anybody not know what radon is? It's an odorless, just so you know, an odorless, colorless gas, and it comes from decomposition of uranium in the ground and seeps into houses. So exposure to radon is actually probably responsible for about 10% of lung cancer cases in the United States every year. Secondhand smoke is associated with 3,000 lung cancer deaths every year. So if we eliminate exposure to radon and secondhand smoke in the home, we have the potential to prevent lung cancer. also, if you are a smoker or you're exposed to secondhand smoke and you're also exposed to radon, your risk of developing lung cancer is really exacerbated. So based on the evidence in the literature, we came up with the idea for a study. We decided to design a study that would test the effectiveness of a multifaceted randomized controlled trial to reduce exposure to secondhand smoke and radon in the home, and we called it the FRESH study, and FRESH stands for Freedom from Radon Exposure and Smoking in the Home. Now, what I'm going to present to you today is some of the baseline data from the very baseline survey of the study, and hopefully next year we'll have some results to report to you, but I thought it might be helpful for you just to have an overview of the larger study. So our larger study, the FRESH study, is a randomized controlled trial. As I said, it's designed to test the effects of a dual home screening and environmental feedback intervention. So we're in the process of enrolling 520 homeowners. Half are assigned to a treatment group. The other half are assigned to a control group into two identically sized strata, those with or without a smoker in the home. So we have a very good statistician who came up with our randomization for us. If you're randomized into the control or into the treatment group, at the time of enrollment, you get pre-test kits for secondhand smoke and radon. Radon test kits are available commercially from Home Depot, Lowe's, those kinds of stores, for a minimal price. Secondhand smoke or nicotine, air nicotine test kits are only available for research purposes. But if you're in the treatment group, you get those kits at enrollment. If your test results end up being high, you get environmentally tailored feedback via the mail, and we also call those people and try to do some risk reduction messaging with them. In addition, if you have a high radon level in the big study, we will reimburse the cost of mitigation up to $600, which is a really good benefit of the grant. The people who go into the control group get a coupon at the time of enrollment. They don't get their test kits at that time, but they get an email and a phone number, and they can call and request either or both. They get those test kits, they get their results in the mail, but they are actually referred to the health department for follow-up. So that's our control group. And then participants in both groups do a survey at baseline, at 3, 9, and 15 months. And in those surveys, we assess perceived lung cancer risk, lung cancer worry, and secondhand smoke exposure. So what I'm going to tell you today actually comes from the baseline survey from this larger study. So all that to say, the purpose of today's presentation is to look at the association between demographic factors, tobacco smoke exposure, perceived risk of developing lung cancer, and lung cancer worry among a group of homeowners at the baseline of our randomized control trial. And the trial, of course, is to test the effects of our dual home screening trial on home exposure to radon and secondhand smoke. And our hypothesis, based on the literature, is that smokers and people who are exposed to secondhand smoke in the home will have higher perceived risk of developing lung cancer and be more worried about lung cancer than those not exposed to tobacco smoke. Our sample was a quota sample of 340 homeowners. We recruited them in our outpatient clinics and our medical center and our outpatient pharmacy, which actually turned out to be a gold mine for recruitment because people sit there and wait for a long time when they're waiting for their prescriptions to be filled. We also went out to different university events, and we went out to community events, mostly locally, but a few spread out throughout the state. 12% of the sample were current smokers. 19% had reported exposure to secondhand smoke in the home, and we are recruiting through March of next year to get our total of 520. Our measures included tobacco exposure in the form of smoking status. So we asked them if they were a current smoker, a never smoker, or a former smoker. We also asked them if they had been exposed to secondhand smoke in the home in the past 7 days. For demographics, we looked at race and ethnicity, education, income, age, gender, and marital status. Other measures were perceived risk of lung cancer, and to measure this, we asked the question, how would you rate your risk of developing lung cancer in your lifetime on a scale of 0 to 10, with 0 being the lowest and 10 being the highest? And then to measure lung cancer worry, we asked 4 questions. How much do you currently worry about getting lung cancer someday? How much do worries about lung cancer impact your mood? How much do worries about lung cancer impact your daily activities? And when you worry about lung cancer, how difficult is it to control worries? So for lung cancer worry, we took those items and we scaled them to a 0 to 1 range and then summed them to create a total lung cancer worry score that falls between 0 and 4. These are our demographic characteristics of the sample. The majority of the sample was female and white. Almost all had a high school diploma or higher, so they were relatively well-educated, which is really not reflective of our state in general. Almost two-thirds had household income over $60,000, which is also not reflective of Kentucky in general. Over two-thirds were married, and their mean age was almost 53. If you look at the results related to perceived lung cancer risk by smoking status and secondhand smoke exposure, current smokers and those with smokers living in the home perceive their lung cancer risk as higher, which is not surprising, than those who did not smoke or have smokers living at the home. So we kind of expected to find that. Results related to lung cancer worry scores by smoking status and exposure. Current smokers and those with smokers living in the home also had higher lung cancer worry scores than non-smokers and those without smokers living in the home, which also was not really a surprise to us. When we looked at predictors of perceived risk of lung cancer and lung cancer worry, there were some significant associations. Perceived risk of lung cancer was significantly associated with household income and smoking status and smoking in the home. Lung cancer worry was significantly associated with education level, smoking status, and smoking in the home. None of the other demographic factors were predictors of perceived risk of lung cancer and lung cancer worry at baseline. So, what that means is controlling for demographics and for treatment group, treatment versus control, being a smoker and having smoke exposure in the home predicted a higher perceived risk of lung cancer as well as higher lung cancer worry. Those with household income less than $60,000 perceived their risk of lung cancer as higher than those with higher incomes. And similarly, those with less education were more worried about lung cancer than those with more education. Also, the people who perceived their lung cancer risk to be higher had higher worry scores. So they were also related. Now the question is, how do we get these high-risk groups to mitigate their risk by reducing smoking prevalence and exposure to secondhand smoke? So what we hope to be able to find from this study is, will those with higher levels of perceived risk of developing lung cancer and lung cancer worry respond to our intervention? Our hope is that participants who have higher test results will be motivated towards behavior change, and we're trying to capture what we're calling a teachable moment, so that when they actually get those higher test results for secondhand smoke or air nicotine in the home, that by calling and doing an intervention with them over the phone, that will motivate them towards behavior change. So hopefully we'll have those results to present to you next year. So, in conclusion, we really need continued efforts to educate the public on health effects of secondhand smoke exposure. You would think that people know, but they don't necessarily know. And to provide evidence-based tobacco treatment in all healthcare settings. That is critically important. Smoke-free laws and voluntary policies are known to increase perceived risk of secondhand smoke exposure, but only 49% of Americans are protected by smoke-free law. So, efforts to increase the number of Americans who are protected by smoke-free laws are really crucial in the prevention of lung cancer. And then finally, we need more research to look at sociodemographic variations in lung cancer worry and perceived risk of developing lung cancer. And we need more research to test the effects of innovative interventions to reduce exposure to secondhand smoke in the home. And that's what we're attempting to do with our study. I don't know if we have time for questions.
We will take the questions at the end.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.